Nếu như
globalization, to a large extent, is actually removing responsibility from people within their own locality to take care of themselves.
We know that people do not know who rules or why and how he rules. And yet they know that there is a power that certainly rules.
And we travel 1,000 miles in an hour and a half. We have traveled through whole areas of existence which we have not necessarily gained. We will pop into a Hindu village, but we won't know a damn thing about that Hindu village.
If you push that on all the way, you see, what it means is that we will increasingly tend to inhabit all of these areas in depth simultaneously.
Južna hemisfera. Usako drugo sredo poročamo o južni polobli. Točno o poldan.
Čečenija ali Minsko polje svobode govora. V začetku letošnjega leta je rusko politično klimo razburilo poročilo Ilje Džašina, bivšega predsednika liberalno-demokratske stranke Parnas in tesnega prijatelja Borisa Nemcova, imenovano Grožnja nacionalne varnosti. V poročilu Džašin analizira Ramzana Kadirova, voditelja Republike Čečenije, ki naj bi svojimi naraščajočimi političnimi ambicijami Rusiji predstavljal grožnjo. Seznam obtožb je dolg in med drugim vključuje obstoj skrivnih zaporov, konstantno manipuliranje z volilnimi rezultati, izkoriščanje ruskih proračunskih sredstev in Kadirovo upletenost v politično motivirane umore novinarjev, humanitarnih delavcev, aktivistov in nenazadnje političnih nasprotnikov, tudi Borisa Nemcova, najvplivnejšega kritika Putinovih politik. Dobrega pol leta kasneje je organizacija Human Rights Watch objavila še eno poročilo, ki vsaj del prej navedenih obtožb potrjuje. Poročilo je nastalo na podlagi 43 intervjujev z anonimnimi osebami, ki so vsaj posredno, če ne neposredno, izrazile kritiko ali zgolj nestrinjanje z oblastjo ter bile zato posledično kaznovane. Več nam o dogajanju v zadnjih mesecih razloži Dominik Kagera, novinar in aktivist.
Last 3 months we experienced a crackdown on civil society in Chechnya. The best example of which was imprisonment of a Caucasian not journalist named Zhelavdi Gariyev. He was a journalist who was working undercover, 23 years old, sentenced for 3 years in prison. There were like also other cases of repressions of the civil society. Currently, what we have is the atmosphere of fear, repression. People are afraid to speak up. And I think during the last 3 months, it was connected with the elections in the Chechen Republic, in which obviously Ramzan Kadyrov earned more than 99% of votes.
Da bi boljše razumeli današnjo situacijo, preletimo čečensko zgodovino. Republika Čečenija je danes uradno del Ruske federacije, neodvisnost pa ji v mednarodni skupnosti priznavajo zgolj Gruzija in afganistanski talibi. Neodvisnost je leta 1991 z državnim udarom dosegel Džuhar Dudajev, ki mu je z absolutno predsedniško oblastjo republiko uspelo voditi do leta 1999. Umestno dogajanje je zaznamovalo več neuspelih poskusov državnih udarov strani opozicije, pa tudi vojaška intervencija na pobudo takratnega ruskega predsednika Borisa Jelcina, ki se je sprevrgla v prvo čečensko vojno, uvedba širijatskega prava in etnično čiščenje ruskega prebivalstva. Dudajeva zgodba je epilog dobila z drugo čečensko vojno v času političnega vzpona Vladimirja Putina. Dudajeva, ubitega v atentatu, je nasledil Ahmad Kadirov, čigar prva poteza je bila sklenitev mirovne pogodbe z Rusko federacijo. Obe čečenski vojni sta po ruskih ocenah terjali okrog 350 tisoč življenj, večinoma civilistov, ogromna pa je bila tudi gmotna škoda. Grozni, glavno mesto Republike Čečenije, so Združeni narodi razglasili za po drugi svetovni vojni najbolj uničeno mesto na svetu. Leta 2004 so Kadirova ubili islamski skrajneži, nasledil pa ga je sin Ramzan, ki vlada še danes. Več o njegovem usponu Joana Kuroš, programska direktorica za vzhodno Evropo in centralno Azijo pri organizaciji Human Rights Defenders.
As for Kadirov's rise to power, Kadirov came to power after that his father, Kadirov the Elder, had been killed in a suicide attack in 2004. He has been ruling very much thanks to strong support from Russia's President Vladimir Putin. He's been taking a lot of people that have been fighting against Russia previously and made them his personal bodyguards. He's running the Chechnya as a personal fiefdom, using violence and severe repression.
Po pričevanjih iz poročila Human Rights Watch nekateri prebivalci Čečenije življenja pod vladavino Ramzana Kadirova dojemajo za še slabše kot tisto v času čečenskih vojn. Sporne prakse se še intenzivneje izvajajo v zadnjih nekaj mesecih, saj se povečuje število izginoti in ubojev tistih, ki kakorkoli izrazijo nestrinjanje s Putinovimi ali Kadirovimi politikami. Za fasado demokratične ureditve so septembra organizirali tudi predsedniške volitve, na katerih je, nepresenetljivo, kandidiral zgolj Ramzan Kadirov. Več o tem Kagera.
These elections were obviously faked, like most elections in the North Caucasus. Practically in all North Caucasian districts, the United Russia Party of Vladimir Putin won more than 90% of votes. In Chechnya, it was again like more than 99%. People are forced to vote. Electoral lists are being fabricated. You can be released from work if you refuse to work and you have to, if you refuse to vote and you have to prove that you voted the right way. So it's even embarrassing to discuss these elections in detail because they were entirely fabricated. But still, given that the support for United Russia is falling in regions like Moscow, for example, and other big cities of Russia, I think that the authorities couldn't take risk to show that some dissent is possible. That's why they decided to increase repressions in the North Caucasian republics in order to show that any kind of opposition won't be tolerated.
Kot pravi vojni dobičkar je Kadirov ustanovil tudi svojo zasebno 30 tisoč glavo vojsko. Kako je po njegovem mnenju s tako očitnim manevrom za povečanje svoje moči Kadirov dobil Putinov blagoslov, pojasni Kagera?
I think that it's been demonstrated that in the in Russian Federation Chechen soldiers proved somehow problematic. This policy was adopted right after the Second Chechen War, which we call it Chechenization, which implies that the Chechen problem should be contained within Chechnya without participation of Russians, at least directly. So instead of having a Russian governor governing Chechnya, we have a ethnic Chechen governor, ethnic Chechen-speaking governor. The army as well, like, is Chechen, so there is no tension between ethnic Russians and ethnic Chechens. This army is very loyal to Kadyrov, and Kadyrov, I will repeat, is very loyal to Putin. They're highly trained, and so far, like, there is no danger in sight of this army going rogue or showing any kind of opposition.
Kadirov si v želji po še večji moči podreja vse, ki v njegovo politiko zgolj podvomijo. Javnost nagovarja preko več družabnih omrežij, podredil si je nacionalno televizijo Grozni TV, ukinil neodvisne medije in z napadi pregnal organizacije za zaščito človekovih pravic. Že skoraj da ustaljena praksa je, da se posamezniki, ki so Kadirova kritizirali, pojavljajo v osrednjem dnevno informativnem programu, kjer so se za svoje klevetanje prisiljeni opravičiti. Ker je medijskega poročanja o čečenski politični situaciji tudi v širši mednarodni skupnosti le za vzorec, javnost o dogajanju ve bore malo, več Kuroš.
And what is often put forward when talking about Chechnya is that there used to be a war in Chechnya in the 90s. There used to be two wars, actually. And things have become so much calmer in Chechnya. Not as many people as previously are disappeared, and there are less reports about human rights violations, grave human rights violations such as torture. And Grozny looks great. It has been built up after the war. All this is true, but it all has a horrible price. And that price is, firstly, people are still being tortured, though it's they are much more afraid of reporting human rights abuses. That has really been a problem for human rights organizations for a long time, that less and less people turn to them because they are afraid of further repression.
Velik trn v peti Kadirovu predstavljajo tudi salafiti, veja muslimanov prisotna predvsem v arabskih državah. Zakaj so tudi salafiti ena izmed najbolj napadanih skupin, razloži Kagera.
Salafi Muslims have a very potent ideology which can challenge the official state structures in Russia. These are mostly people who very often come from more underprivileged backgrounds. They call for more, we would call it in Europe, civil society engagement with more influence on democracy, on the democratic process, advocating for rights of religious minorities like themselves. And they are struggling currently, like being repressed for such a long time in the Russian Federation, to create alternative societal structures and in some cases legal structures. There are cases of villages in Dagestan which function entirely under Sharia law, and the Russian law is practically not executed over there. This ideology is gaining ground with young people who don't see any other way of self-realization, of pursuing their goals or finding what they're looking for in life in Russia, in the Russian official state system and in the officially approved Russian religion. So they seek some form of liberation in the fundamentalist doctrine of Salafism. The Kremlin is very aware that this ideology is fundamentally opposed to the officially promoted religion and to the law of the Russian Federation with all its implications. So they are very interested in repressing it and promoting the traditional, so-called traditional version of Islam.
južno hemisfero se vraćamo u Čečinijo. Represivni ukrepi zoper politične nasprotnike naj bi izhajali iz Kadirove želje po čisti podobi svojega vladanja, s čimer bi si lažje zagotovil podporo Kremlja. Ta teza morda zveni verjetno, na tem mestu pa se je vseeno potrebno vprašati, kaj se plete v glavah ruskih odločevalcev, ki so gotovo obveščeni o dogajanju v Čečeniji. Rahov odmik od podpore Kadirovu je Kremelj sicer že nakazal aprila letos, ko je prvi trepetal za podaljšanje mandata do septembrskih volitev. Putin svoje odločitve o morebitnem podaljšanju namreč ni hotel razkriti do zadnjega dne. Ko mu je mandat vseeno podaljšal, je septembra Kadirova še javno nagovoril kandidaturi za predsedniške volitve ter hkrati opozoril na nujnost upoštevanja ruske zakonodaje. Ker dlje od besed Kremelj ni prišel, lahko o resnosti ruskih namenov upravičeno dvomimo. O vlogi Rusije, sicer ne ravno skrbne negovalke človekovih pravic, v čečenski zgodbi sta se v grobem izoblikovali dve teoriji, razložijo Kuroš.
Well, Chechnya is a part of Russia. Putin is Kadyrov supervisor, so he's responsible for him. There are different opinions on whether Kadyrov is a problem or an asset, Putin, on how he views it himself. Yes, one argument is that that Putin has created a problem because Kadyrov is now trying to reach outside of Chechnya to other parts of Russia, and he's strengthening his power and so on. And also that he has culturally made Chechnya more different from Russia than ever. Actually, Chechnya has never been as de facto independent as it is now from Russia. He has installed a mix of a rough version of Chechen traditional laws and customs and Muslim rules that are actually foreign to the traditional Islam in Chechnya, a more radical version. But on the other hand, looking at what the situation in Russia is in general and the human rights situation in Russia, one could also argue that human rights abuses are no problem for Vladimir Putin. He doesn't seem to mind human rights abuses in other parts of Russia. They are, of course, more severe in Chechnya. So the question is, and also that actually Ramzan Kadyrov does exactly what Putin needs him to do, what he wants him to do, and that is have a superficial calm and stability and control in Chechnya, and thus he has reached his goal. So there are two arguments here.
Pravkar slišano za zaključek oddaje dopolni še Kagera.
There are like two factions of experts. One faction says that Kadyrov is indeed going rogue and he's going to crave for more power, and he is not controlled by Putin at this point, that he has his own political ambitions. I subscribe to the second view, alternative view, which says that Kadyrov is 100% obedient to Kremlin. Nothing that happens in Chechnya can happen without Kremlin's approval and knowledge. It's true that Kadyrov has some ambitions to expand his influence in Dagestan and Ingushetia. But then again, I don't believe that this is something that is not agreed or it's not known about in the Kremlin. So his ambitions at this point, like, don't go much beyond the Chechen Republic. Another interesting case in Kadyrov's expanding influence is him trying to position himself as the leader of the Muslim world. He tries to organize conferences in Grozny, inviting Muslim leaders from across the world. He even claimed that there is a little bit of blood of Prophet Muhammad in him after he injected the holy relic in his body. It's a bit of a farce, but proved version of Islam in Russia, and earns like very, very high support from the Kremlin in countering the influence of more fundamentalist doctrine called Salafism. So again, like, Kadyrov is indeed interested in expanding his influence in the Muslim world, but nothing is happening without the interest and knowledge of the Kremlin.
Južno hemisfero je pripravila Sara.
Globalization, to a large extent, is actually removing responsibility from people within their own locality to take care of themselves.
We know that people do not know who rules or why and how he rules. And yet they know that there is a power that certainly rules.
And we travel 1,000 miles in an hour and a half. We have traveled through whole areas of existence which we have not necessarily gained. We will pop into a Hindu village, but we won't know a damn thing about that Hindu village.
If you push that all the way, you see, what it means is that we will increasingly tend to inhabit all of these areas in depth simultaneously.
Južna hemisfera. Vsako drugo sredo poročamo o južni polobli. Točno o poldan.